Well, hello and welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters, around our wonderful Lord's Word. It's very important, critical for us to have God's Word within us. And the Lord said that we be filled with His Word, and that God's Word dwell in us richly, richly. Today we're going to start a brand new study. This is study number 6B. It's the third study in the ABCs of Christian Growth in the letter under the letter F. F. I don't know if that's how you say that. F. It's F number 3. And the truth that we're going to be studying is fear and fear of the Lord. Fear and fear of the Lord. You say, well, Brother Thurman, that's interesting. I mean, what would the Bible have to say about fear? I mean, is that a big subject in the Bible? Is that something that God teaches a lot about in the Scriptures? As a matter of fact, it is. This is one probably of the – I just finished this study and put it to the ABCs of Christian Growth on paper, and also put it on our website, Barnhouse Ministries, there on the ABCs of Christian Growth there. You can find it there also. But this is where I'm just starting to record this and going to put it on voice. And it's one of the longest studies, I think, that the ABCs is going to have. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to fear. Fear is a big subject. It's something that in the world that's very important to the world, but it's kept swept under the rug for some. It's a mystery. Fear in the world is a mystery. And the reason I say that is because everybody talks about how they don't want to fear. And in their heart, they really, I mean, even worldly people, people that hate God, people don't want to fear. They don't want to be scared of things. But yet it's like a lust to them. I mean, they go to the movies and they produce movies and they have Halloween and celebrate Halloween and how they can scare the death out of somebody. And everybody loves to be scared. And everybody loves fear up to a point. But everybody's scared to death of fear, too. It's a mystery. There's something peculiar about fear. And the Bible does make it fear. It does describe fear, and it does talk about fear and several different avenues of fear and what fear really is and what we should fear and what we should not fear. There are things that men fear that they should not fear and things that they do not fear that they should fear. And some of these things are done by accident, and some of these things are done out of ignorance, and some of these things are done on purpose. Some people intentionally do not fear things because they're scared of them. Now, that sounds kind of contradictory, but it's true. It's true. You know, fear is a very important subject in the Scriptures. And I'm going to try to use this first recording as sort of an introduction to try to get us started in this matter of fear. There are over 20 pages of Scripture alone included in this study. And you can find it, like I said, on our website, barnhouseministries.com. And you can go on there and you can get under the title of ABCs of Christian Growth in that study. Click in that. And then you can also see this study in there, and you can see as we go through it. If you want to, you can download it also, or I'll even send it to you and have those papers, the literal papers that we're going to be going over, like we were in a classroom. That's what this is all about. Have them sitting right in front of you and watch as we discuss this stuff page by page from top to bottom. There it is. So, talking about fear. Fear, you know, one would think that fear would be a topic of importance in the Holy would be a topic of importance in the Scriptures, or at least wouldn't be. Excuse me. What I mean to say is that one would not think that fear would be a topic of importance in the Holy Scriptures, or at least not to be spoken of much. I mean, when you think of the Holy Scriptures and you think of fear, well, God don't want nobody to be scared. He's not a God that scares everybody and wants everybody to be scared. Well, is that what fear is being scared? I mean, if that's what fear is, being scared, of course nobody wants to be scared, and nobody wants to think of God as a scary God, or the Bible as a scary Bible. But it's two things that people stay away from, isn't it? And avoid. It sure is. But you know, in fact, the truth is that fear and fear of the Lord are of great matter when it comes to God's truths and what He desires us to know about things. But as we're going to see in this study, fear in the Bible sense and fear in the world sense are two different things altogether. And it's important for a child of God to know and to understand the Holy Scripture, understand what the Holy Scriptures teach when it comes to knowing what to fear and what not to fear, and who to fear and who not to fear, and God's authority in the matter concerning it. What does God say we're supposed to be scared of or fear or whatever the definition of fear is? What does God say concerning it, concerning us? What does the Bible say? What does He give us? Does He give us permission to fear things or give us permission not to fear things? I mean, what is this matter of fear? Is fear a good thing or is fear a bad thing according to the Word of God? Does God want people to fear Him? Does God want people to be scared of Him? If that's what fear is being scared? Is fear being scared, or is it this what they call reverential trust? I mean, is there a difference? Are those different? Is being scared and having reverential trust different? Fear is not a new subject. Fear has been around for a long, long time, since man's been around. I mean, you stop and think about it. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve spoke to the Lord after they sinned? Well, after He found them hiding behind the trees and done sewed them up some clothes out of fig leaves, and what a thing to sew up and put against your flesh. You ever had a fig leaf against your flesh? But anyway, after they made them some clothes and they hid behind the trees in the garden and everything, and the Lord said, "Where are you?" They said, "Well, we hid." And they said, "Well, why'd you hid?" "Because we was naked and we was ashamed and we were scared." They said they were scared. They feared. Fear's not a new subject. Fear's been around a long, long time. Man is accustomed to fear and even uses it for his benefit. Fear is a commodity. Fear sells, man. I mean, now you ask anybody that sells and markets things and even all your people that you pay bills, they aggravate me to death, man. They send you these stupid little things on your computer and send you these things. I mean, like your car insurance. My car insurance sends me at least, now I'm going to be fair with them, but at least three or four reminders a month that I might be late or that my payment's coming up or that I don't want to let my insurance lapse. Boy, that would be a tragedy and I mean, fear, man. Try to make you scared that you don't pay your car insurance, that it's going to be something to be very scared of, fear, and try to instill fear in you to make sure that you give them your money. That's what that's all about. And they use that as a commodity and as a tool to try to get to get what they want to get done and to drive people. Fear has been in the world for a long time and used of both man against man and all sorts of things. Now, what does God think when He thinks of fear? Does God fear anything? Now, in this study, we're going to read the Holy Scriptures and trust what they say. Okay, that's what we do in these studies. We're going to read the Holy Scriptures and trust what they say concerning fear. Not what man defines it as, not the translations, not the Greek, not the Hebrew, not all this and not all that. What does the Bible say concerning fear? Does God fear anything? Well, in this study, we're going to find out. We're going to read the Scriptures, and we're going to see what they say, and we're going to believe what the Holy Ghost teaches us and go believing. Fair enough? Fear and fear of the Lord. That's the title and the subject and the truth that we're going to study in this study. Now, a couple, factors concerning fear. Fear and its variations, and it has 6 or 7 variations that the word fear is used in the Scripture. The word feared, fearist, feareth, fearful, fearfully, fearfulness, fearing, and fears are actually mentioned and spoken in God's Word. So fear is not a foreign matter or a mystery in the Scriptures. Fear is spoken of in, 8 different variations talking about fear. And it's actually mentioned in and spoken in God's Word. Now, the total mentions of everything that we mentioned, just all the 8 different variations of it, the total of it is mentioned 525 times throughout the Bible, with 404 mentioned in the Old Testament in those variations, and 121 mentioned in the New Testament and of those variations. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke several of the words that a few of the apostles recorded a total of 19 times. When the Lord was here for 3.5 years, the language that he used and the words that he spoke that was recorded by the men that followed him around and wrote God's words down for us, recorded 19 different times that the Lord used the word fear or one of its variations 19 times. We see, first of all, that fear and fear of the Lord is an important enough truth that the Son of God used the words in his teaching and preaching in his short 3.5 years of ministry before ascending back to the Father. So you figure, out of all the words that the Lord Jesus Christ could have used and chose to use, there were words that he chose not to use. But out of all the words, and we believe that every word of God is pure, just like the Bible says. So when we hear the words that are spoken of in the Scripture, we take them very seriously. And out of the Lord Jesus Christ's language and the words that he spoke, now, of course, one of the apostles said that if everything was to have been recorded that the Lord actually done and spoke, that the world itself would not be able to contain the books that would have been written. So there was much, much, much more, but the Lord gave us what he wanted us to have. So the things that were not recorded and that were not spoken, is the Lord didn't want us to have, so we don't need to worry about it. But the things that he did, out of all the things that he recorded, Jesus spoke the words in some variation 19 different times while he was here. Now, that's not very many in 3.5 years, but the things that he said when he used them are critical and very important to man. And those that are interested, and, of course, those that are not interested. Fear and fear of the Lord. Now, what I want to do now is I'm just going to define fear. I looked it up in 2 different dictionaries, and one of them I use is the 18, let me see what that is. It's Oh, yeah, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. I love that dictionary. It's an old, old dictionary that still uses all the old words and has all the old definitions, and it's got words in it that these new dictionaries do not have. And then I use something that's called WordWeb, and it's a dictionary that that I also use. But those two dictionaries I do use, and I looked in those, and I just looked up the word fear and its variations and wrote it down. And I want to just take this time and just define fear as far as if a person was to look it up and say, okay, what is fear? Then we just go look it up and we read it and we see, get an idea in our mind and just start a get a context of what fear is and definition of fear. So the first one, fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear expresses less apprehension than dread, and dread less than terror and fright. So fear is a degree of an emotion that's excited by an expectation of evil or apprehension of impending danger. But it's not as not as scary. I don't know if you'd say that. Fear expresses less apprehension. In other words, it don't bother you as much, as I guess, as dread, and dread less than terror and fright. So it kind of breaks this. When we first break into this definition of fear, it has categories. I mean, fear is not as scary, I guess you would say, as dread, and dread is not as scary as terror or fright. I know the Bible uses the word terror. I know it uses the word dread. I'm not so sure about fright. I have to look that up. I'm just now wondering about that. That's probably why I hadn't already looked it up. But anyway, isn't that interesting? Interesting. A painful emotion or expression excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. That sounds pretty good. All right. It says also, the force of this passion, beginning with the most moderate degree, may be thus expressed fear, dread, terror, or fright. Fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. In other words, fear comes along to help you out so you can get rid of whatever it is that you're expecting to come that's not good. Fear is an uneasiness of mind. Now I'm reading the definitions. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. Fear is the passion of our nature which excites us to provide for our security on the approach of evil. In other words, fear is kind of like a tool for us that we use. It's a passion of our nature. It's part of our nature. Now, this is a definition. I don't know if this is what the Bible says. We'll be finding that out. But fear is the passion of our nature, which excites us to provide for our security on the approach of evil. Now, there has to be some truth in that. We can all sit there and say that that probably is true, because there have been times in my life when I feared, or that when fear helped me out, whenever I was expecting any approach of evil or something bad fixing to happen. Fear helped me out, didn't it, you? It was part of my nature. My nature was to fear in such a way to where I would protect myself or protect others or prepare for something or to run from something or whatever it took. So there's one definition. Here's the second one. Anxiety. Solicitude, in other words, carefulness or concern. Uneasiness of mind occasioned by the fear or evil or the desire of good. Huh? Anxiety. Solicitude. Carefulness, concern. Uneasiness of mind occasioned by the fear of evil or the desire of good. Anxiety. The Bible says, and the angel came unto her and said, hail. You say, well, now talking about the fear of evil or the desire of good. This is a scripture that explains what that was talking about. This is Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail. Thou art highly favored. Thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. In other words, the angel told her not to be scared. He said, you're highly favored. And he wasn't talking. He said, blessed art thou, and don't be troubled, and this, that, and the other. And the first thing she thought was cast in her mind was, what's going on? What's this all about? The angels tell me not to be scared, that I'm highly favored, I'm blessed, blessed art thou among women, and all this, and he hadn't told me what's going on yet, and then the angel says, fear not. So Mary was fearing, but she wasn't fearing because she was scared of a situation. She was fearing because she was scared of what good was going to happen. What are you talking about? And fear came upon, and the angel told her not to fear. You see, so fear can be used in a different manner than that first definition that we was talking about. Apprehension is what we was talking about the first time of impending danger. Well, that ain't what Mary had, was impending danger. She was fearing some kind of good that the angel was talking about her. In other words, she was saying, well, wait a minute, why am I highly favored? Why am I blessed among all the women? And why should I not be troubled when I've never seen an angel before? And there's an angel standing in front of me talking to me. And what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You see, good definition of fear there, but different than the first one. You see that? You see that thing? All right, third definition, the cause of fear. That's the definition of it itself. The cause of fear is a definition of fear in itself. And what do you mean by that? Well, Judges chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So he had 32,000 men there, and the Lord told him, tell everybody who is fearful, the scripture says. Let's see, is that what it said? Fearful and afraid. The Lord said, go tell all the men, any of y'all that are fearful and afraid, then you can go, because I'm not going to use all of you anyway. And out of all of them, there returned 20 and 2,000, and there was 10,000 left. So it was 22,000 of them that had a cause, that feared. The cause of fear. The fourth definition, the object of fear. All right, there was a cause of fear. The men were scared to go to war. They were scared about going to war. They were scared. That was a cause, okay? And it caused them to fear. All right, now this one's the object of fear. Found in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 42. And that's what I like about that dictionary I was telling you about, the Webster 1828. The definitions are backed up with Scripture in them definitions. I recommend it highly. If you're going to use a dictionary, get a hold of that dictionary. And whenever you look up Scripture, not all of them, but when you look up definitions, not all of them, but a lot of them will have God's Word backing it up and show you and give you examples and things like that of the definition of the Word through Scripture, which I love. The object of fear. Okay, this one says, except the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Okay, there's a conversation that is going on, and Jacob is having a conversation here, and he swore by something. He swore, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. By the fear of his father Isaac. In other words, that he honored and he feared and he respected his father and the way his father done things. He honored and feared the way that Abraham, except the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, Abraham and Isaac, his grandfather and his father, had been with me. And then it says later on in the verse, and Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac and what he had been taught and the things that were put in him and the object of fear. The object of fear is a definition of fear. All right. Here's another definition. Now, like I said, all we're doing right now is just going over what we can find as definitions of fear. And we found some pretty good ones so far, hadn't we? Here's another one. This is the fifth one. Something set or hung up to terrify wild animals by its color or noise. That's a definition of fear. All right. Believe it or not, it's in the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 17 and 18 says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundation of the earth do shake. It actually personalizes fear in that verse. It says, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. In other words, God uses it as a tool. Something set or hung up to terrify wild animals. Well, man is described as a wild ass, a wild ass's colt. But an inhabitant of, inhabitant of the earth, it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. You're running from fear because fear is making a noise. You know, that's a good definition. It's a mystery, but it's a good definition of fear. A lot of us are running from something that we hear that we don't know what it is that we're listening to. Huh? Isn't that a strange thing? Here's another one in Jeremiah. Something set or hung up to terrify wild animals by its color or noise. Or noise, the Bible said in Isaiah, the noise of the fear. The noise of the fear. Here's one in Jeremiah. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. The Lord uses that fear. He'll scare the dickens out of you. And he'll do it with a noise that you hear. And that's something. Isn't that something? Fear. That's a definition. All right, here's another one. In Scripture, fear is used to express a filial or a slavish passion. Now, these are two different titles given to two different kinds of fear in the Scriptures, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws, which springs from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. That is such a good definition of fear, talking about the fear of God. Some of them talk about it being reverential trust and stuff like that. And no, it's being scared enough of God that you love Him and you know He is who He is, and you love and you reverence and you awe Him, and it leads you to shun things that God hates and behave yourself. That's called filial fear. This is filial fear. And here's in Jeremiah chapter 32. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. You see that thing? It takes the Bible to understand fear, doesn't it? All right, that's filial fear. That God puts a fear in us that makes us scared of Him, but not scared of Him in the same way that the world tries to scare you. It's a fear of awe and reverence and admiring Him for who He is and respecting Him and putting Him in His proper place in our minds and our hearts that helps us to avoid and to turn away ugly and nasty and wicked sin and do the things that are pleasing in His sight because we want to, not because we have to. Isn't that neat? All right, here's another definition. The other one, slavish passion. All right, fear is used to express a filial or a slavish passion. Now, slavish fear is the effect or consequence of guilt. It is the painful apprehension of merited punishment. In other words, you deserve what you're going to get. And you're scared of it because you know you're guilty and you deserve it and you're going to get it. That's that fear, that slavish fear. Okay, is that scriptural? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, when you're born again, you become God's child. You're actually part of His family now. And you don't have to be scared of God when it comes to the consequence of guilt and your sin and that kind of fear. Because Jesus has gave you His righteousness and paid your sin debt. And you're no longer guilty before the Lord when it comes to that. Now kicks in the filial fear. You see that? The fear that we love our Lord, we know who He is and what He's capable of and what He thinks, and we admire Him and we respect His thinking and we respect His word and we obey Him because we want to and not because we have to, because we're children of God now. And we don't have to fear, for God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, we don't have to walk around being scared all the time anymore of going to hell or being cursed by God or this, that, and the other. We're His children, and we're loved by Him and accepted in the beloved. And we don't have to worry about the slavish fear anymore. we have filial fear now. Filial fear, but yet, indeed, fear. Fear. Well, I just don't think God wants me to be scared of him. Do you really think that when you leave that body and you stand before an almighty creator that you've been listening to and reading about and living for and this, that, now you really think the first time that you lay your eyes on God that you ain't going to be scared? Are you crazy? You're tricking, you're fooling yourself, man. Go trick your grandma. You ain't tricking none of us. Even filial fear is scary. I mean, you don't want to disappoint you. When you was a child, you didn't want to disappoint your daddy. You didn't want to disappoint him you're his child, number one, and you didn't want him to feel that way about you, number two, but also he'll beat your brains out as a son. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son in whom he had to do. Yeah. So, fear. Yeah. Here's another one in 1 John. Listen to this. This is under that slavish fear. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, wait a minute. He just got through telling us that there's a filial love that we should have, so that's fear. Now, down here, John says there is no fear in love. Well, what he's talking about there is you don't have to be scared of going to hell anymore. He said boldness in the day of judgment. In other words, when you stand at the judgment seat, you're not going to have to worry about God sending you to hell. Because God loves you, and he showed you his love, and you accepted his love, and herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We don't have to worry about that no more. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. There is no fear, no fear of going to hell, no fear of of this slavish fear, consequences of guilt and painful apprehensions of merited punishment. There is no fear in love. There's no slavish fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. In other words, Jesus saved you. You accepted Jesus' love. God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. When you're walking around scared of going to hell, that torments you, man. That's why people don't want to hear it. It's scary. There's actually a person that could put me in hell and not let me out. Mm-hmm. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It didn't say you didn't have love, or that you wasn't loved of God, or that you wasn't in his family. It just said that you're not made perfect and you're not thinking right yet. You don't have to worry about judgment. We love him because he first loved us. You see that? You don't have to put on a show for God. You just have to be honest and upright and a contrite heart and sincere and honest before the Lord and walk before him and do the things that are pleasing in his sight because you love him, because you want to, not because you have to. You see the difference in that? Talking about fear, here's another definition of fear. The worship of God. All right, let's see what it says. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The worship of God is defined as fear. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's something that we need to be taught. And it's something that we need to hearken to. And it says, come, ye children. Children of who? Children of God. Hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the Bible teaches us there's some kind of fear of the Lord that we need to be taught. And we need to listen to. That's the worship of God. Another definition. The law and word of God is a definition of fear and fear of the Lord. Listen to what it says in Psalm chapter 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So there's the fear of the Lord that goes along with the law, goes along with the testimony, goes along with the statutes, goes along with rejoicing and the commandment of the Lord and the enlightening of the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So notice that the fear of the Lord is clean, and it's mentioned along with everything that describes the law and the word of God. And it says, moreover, by them, by what? The law, the testimony, the statutes, the fear of the Lord, the commandment, the judgments, all the things that are more to be desired than gold and are more sweeter than honey. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. You see that fear thing? A definition of fear, the law and the word of God. Now here's another one, another definition for fear. Did you think that there was that many definitions of fear? Wow. Here's another one. Reverence, respect, due regard. All right, I got a scripture for that. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7, describing fear and fear of the Lord as reverence, respect, and due regard. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Fear and fear of the Lord is defined as reverence, respect, and due regard. Fear. That's a good one, isn't it? And scriptural. All right, here's some more definitions. Almost done here. Almost done. A lot of definitions. This is fear. To feel a painful apprehension of something impending evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with emotions of alarm or solicitude. That's kind of like that first one, but there's a different scripture here. We fear the approach of an enemy or of a storm. You that live down in Florida and them hurricanes and like tornadoes and things like that, you know, a painful apprehension impending evil. We have reason to fear the punishment for our sins, especially if you're not saved. But if you are saved, you should fear God's strap because he does use it, and he uses it well and perfectly. And you will feel it. And you will know who it's from and why it is and every bit of it, every bit of it. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says also in Matthew, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Fear. In Colossians it says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. God don't care who you are and how much money you got and what your last name was and who you're married to and blobbity blabbity blab blab blab. You're going to get it in the neck. You better straighten up. Fear, to feel a painful apprehension of something impending evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with emotions and alarm or solicitude. We fear the approach of an enemy or of a storm, or we have reason to fear the punishment of our sins. And we do. We're dealing with a holy God, and not only a holy God that has saved us from eternal punishment and made us accepted in the beloved and loves us with an everlasting love, but is also a very good father and a strict father and wants us to walk the line and behave yourself and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And do it because you want to and not because you have to. Because God can make you do anything he wants to make you do. But most of the time he'll just let you trip yourself and let you throw yourself in a mud hole and drown yourself or whatever it is that you're being stupid about. And he'll let you destroy yourself, because that's what we do without the Lord. When you leave the Lord, folks, you're headed for self-destruction. You will take yourself out. That's what humans do. That's what the human nature, that's what the Adamic nature does. It drives us to destroy ourselves. All right, another definition. To reverence, to have a reverential awe, to venerate. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. To reverence. To have a reverential awe, to venerate. In other words, I don't care what you do. Do what you want to do. I fear God. I reverence the Lord. I fear him. I respect him. I have a reverential awe for the Lord. I know who he is. And I'm going to respect that. And I'm going to fear it. Do what you want to do. Here's another definition. To affright, to terrify, to drive away or prevent approach by fear. Now, this is probably the one that Slavish fear up there that we talked about. This is probably the one that similar to the one that that the world wants you to think when you think of gods. I mean, when they make their little monster gods on the movies and stuff and drive the emotions all the way up to the scariest point where we have not seen what this monster looks like and this great big god that's supposed to be so scary, and then the movie gets all excited and everything, and all of a sudden out comes and nobody can't wait to see this great fearful thing that's coming out behind the curtains. That's man. Man loves that stuff. He lusts after it. But he doesn't understand it. Because there is a God like that. A real one. To affright, to terrify, to drive away or prevent approach by fear. Listen, God tells us all through His Word, you better be careful when you're around me, man. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? The Bible says that the man that was that sought after God with his own heart, that God respected was David. But the Bible says that David was afraid of God that day. That was when he killed that man for touching the ark. And David was afraid of him that day. The Bible says in Hebrews, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. In other words, when he brought the children of Israel over by the mount, when God descended on that mountain melted and smoked, and God started giving the law out. And the people said, please don't tell God not to talk to us no more. We don't want to talk to Him. We don't want Him to talk to us. We want you to get the law from Him and tell us, please. I mean, it scared them to death. But also, Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quaked. You know what quaking is? Quaking is that you're so scared that your mind disconnects from your body and your body has a fear, like a fear of its own. It begins to quake. Just, it's like getting hit with 220. Just quaking. It's like out of control. I can't stop it. Exceedingly fear and quake. This is Moses. This is a man that went up on the mountain and seen God face to face. Watched God write and carve out the Ten Commandments in stone with his finger. To affright, to terrify, to drive away or prevent approach by fear. Here's another one, Daniel. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Remember that king? And God wrote that message on the wall. That hand showed up, and he seen that hand writing on the wall. And that's when he called in Daniel, called all the astrologers and all the people that couldn't answer and tell him what that meant. And Daniel come in and told him what it meant, said thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, and he's going to take your kingdom from you. And I think that very night he got killed. He died that night, and God did take it from him. But it said that he got so scared when he seen it that his knees smote together. You ever had your knees shake so bad that you're so scared that your knees smacked against one another? I've seen cartoons and things like that of it. That's being scared. That's being afraid. That's being more than afraid. That's being terrorized. That's being frightened. That's being quaking. That's scary, scary, scary. And we're talking about God. Not your movie picture imaginated gods that come out from behind the curtain and scare you, scary, wary, and all that kind of stuff. And then he gets killed in the end, and everybody walks out happy and full of popcorn. No, not this God. Not this God. Here's the last one. Definition of fear. To be in apprehension of evil, to be afraid, to feel anxiety on account of some expected evil. A lot of these seem to kind of sound like some other ones that we already defined, but this is from a couple different dictionaries, so they might sound the same, but and maybe they are, but either way, there you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That's the Apostle Paul talking to the church, us, telling us that he was scared, he feared that the devil was going to trick us with something and take us away and carry us off away from the simplicity of the truth, which he is doing today in this Laodicean era with the apostate church that's going on nowadays. With all these exotic dancers and rock music and all this kind of gobbledygook and just carried off, lest by any means the serpent beguile, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. To be apprehensive of evil, to be afraid, Paul said, but I fear. To feel anxiety on account of some expected evil. I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul feared that. He didn't want that to happen to us. But it is happening. That's why it's so very, 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 very important to you that you be studying God's Word just like you're doing right now, and God bless you for it. Not necessarily with me or with this study, but with some in God's Word, somewhere, somehow, so that you won't be carried away and corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. When we very first started this study, I told you, and I tell you most of the time, every time we start a new study in this ABCs of Christian Growth or anything that we talk about in these studies, is that we're going to see what the Bible says. We're going to study what God says, not what we think, not the corruption, not the subtlety, not being beguiled, not by list any means that we be carried away, and this, that, and the other. What's the Bible say? And that's what we want to know, and that's all we want to know. And we're happy with that, because it's truth, and it's peace, and it's good. So we see now that fear can mean different things. We also know that fear can be used for good and evil. Let's go to the Scriptures and look at what the Lord teaches us about fear, and allow what He says to be in our minds and in our hearts. We do not want to think of fear the same way that the world, the flesh, and the devil present it. Fear can be deceitful and a lie, and drive us in directions that God does not want us to go. It's important for the child of God to understand what God says about fear. Amen? Amen. All right, definitions of fear. There's your introduction to fear and the fear of the Lord. Fear and fear of the Lord. This is study number 6B, the third study, letter F3. And those are definitions. And I'm glad we went over them, aren't you? Now, that's what we need to do, is just kind of talk about this matter and just kind of open it all up and get it in a big old cloud where we can have context, where we can just look at it and see what are we talking about when we're talking about fear. Well, as we was going through them definitions and reading those scriptures, we seen like three or four or five different descriptions of fear, didn't we? That's what the Bible talks about, and it talks about every one of them, and we're going to go over that. Throughout our study, we're going to talk about some causes of fear, talking about causes of fear. We're going to talk about some effects of fear. How does fear affect things? What does it do? Some instances of fear in the scriptures shows us actual fear in the Bible. And then having to do with the fear of the Lord, we're going to see some scriptural, we're going to scripturally define the fear of the Lord. What does the Bible define the fear of the Lord as? What does it say? Does it define the fear of the Lord? Yes, it does. And we're going to see that in 20 different ways, as a matter of fact. We're going to see some true motives for fearing the Lord. And like I said, you can see these studies on the pages at Barnhouse Ministries. I've already posted it up there. It's in your studies there at Barnhouse Ministries. And you can go on there and look at it if you want to do a sneak preview or a preview sneak or however you say that of it. That's your business. Go ahead. Scriptural examples of fearing God. We're going to go over that. And then we're going to talk about something called fearlessness. In other words, not fearing. What's the Bible say about not fearing? That's important because fear is powerful. Fear is powerful. And this world tries to dominate you, and the devil does, and the flesh does, and the world does, tries to overpower you with fear. I gave you an example with that insurance, sending me these stupid little notices all the time trying to scare me that my payment's going to not be late. And I've never been late with them, ever. As a matter of fact, if I knew somebody would give me the same price, I've told them before, tried to get a hold of them before and told them, tell them that if you send me one more notice threatening me, telling me that, and trying to scare me into making a payment and stuff like that when I've never been late on any payment, I'm going to change just because of that reason. And I would if I knew somebody that I could change to. I would. Just for that reason. Just because they're trying to use fear on me. Because I don't need that garbage in my life. And nor do you. It's false fear. It's fake. It's a tool. And I don't like nobody manipulating me with that. I don't like to be scared of things. And I don't want to be scared of things. You see? And being scared of not making a payment? Why should somebody have to live in fear for that? You see what I'm talking about? That's the world's business, and that's the devil's business. And they do it in all kind of varieties, all kinds of things. All kinds of things make you scared. That's what commercials are all about on your television, is to scare you into thinking that you can't do without this. We're going to talk about some origins of fearlessness. In other words, not fearing. Some origins of it. Just all kinds of stuff in this study we're going to talk about. Some examples of fearlessness and not fearing. Are there people that were not scared in the Bible and God backed them up? Yes. We're going to talk about fear and God's fear and God's Word and how they go together. And how they go together. How God's Word is... how fear and God's Word go together. I want to talk about some times the Lord says for us to fear not in His Word. When does the Lord actually say, fear not, in His Word? Well, we read one a while ago. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And He says it many times, and we're going to read them. And we're going to see that. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. And we're going to talk about that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Isn't that something? Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord and I love His Word. This Word just makes everything so plain and so simple and so perfect. And it's so completely understandable when you're sincere and you really want to know it. Thank you for your diligence to study God's Word. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't you ever quit. Don't you ever, ever, ever quit. You keep on studying God's Word until you see the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, and He's coming to get us. And He's doing exactly what He says, and He's taking care of us. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And don't you quit. Just keep on serving the Lord. but stay close, stay close, stay close to His Word. Do you get that? Stay close to His Word. You can't go without His Word. You can go without anything else, but you can't go without God's Word. You have to understand that, recognize it, realize it, and keep it in your life. Keep it in your life daily. Daily. Amen? All right. Well, the scriptures. Let me give you the scriptures for today, having to do with the definitions that we went over, okay? Here they are. The first one is Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 30. Then we have Judges chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 31, verse 42 and verse 53. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 17 and 18. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 43 and 44. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38 through 40. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. Psalm chapter 34, verse 11. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 through 11. And then is Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. Genesis chapter 42, verse 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21. Daniel chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. And that's the last one. Man, look at all the scripture we've read already that you have read in your God's Word already and understood and seen and understood over just discussing the definition. You couldn't get that much scripture in today's devotionals over anything, especially in the King James Version. You keep studying God's Word and you stick to God's Word and stay with God's Word. You don't need any Greek. You don't need any Hebrew. You don't need any kind of updated anything. The Lord updated everything when He put it down the first time, and it's perfect, and it remains perfect. And you believe that. You got saved by it. It's good enough to give you eternal life. It's good enough to keep you. You don't need, no man can improve on anything having to do with God, and you know that. You know that. Any man that says he can make God's this better and God's that better, stay away from him. Stay away from him. Amen. All right, well, that's all. That's all. We'll get back together when we come back together. As I said, the scriptures that I'm giving to you, they are also on paper, online, at Barnhouse Ministries there. You can find them there under that heading of Scriptures for Our Studies. You can go in there and you can get every one of these scriptures, and they run right along with the study pages right down through. That's all there. If you want it, you can have it. You just go get it. Or if you'd just rather just sit and listen, or you'd rather just open your Bible and whatever you want to do it. There ain't no wrong way to do it. But it's all there if you want it. You don't have to write all these down if you don't want to. They're already written down for you. But if you do want to write them down, wear that pencil out. Wear it out. Okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I love you with Christ's love, and I thank you again. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate you, and I respect you, and I honor you for honoring our Lord. And the Lord says He's going to reward you one day for that and honor you and bring you before the Father and tell His Heavenly Father what you've done for Him and how you stood for Him and studied and honored His Word. Yep. Well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you soon on the next one, okay? If the Lord will. Bye-bye.